When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw hanging out. We are getting ready for the college football playoff. We're going to talk about the Dogs and as they await the winner of Indiana-Notre Dame tonight. We'll talk more about these games that are going to happen on Saturday. But, Mike, I do need to mention Bo Morgan, by the way, tomorrow, 3 to 5, he is going to be out at Twin Peaks Buckhead for a watch party for the college football playoff. And I just want to invite you guys to go out there and check out Bo, hang out. Be a lot of fun, man. It's just a watch party. There will be no live broadcast, but he will be there hanging out. So if you want to go see the meat man,
go see Squid Bizzle and congratulate him with the baby on the way.
Yes, sir. So go check that out. Hey, guys, as we're here at Twin Peaks, lots of stuff happening today. We had a great conversation with Brian McFadden earlier. If you missed it, we'll replay that for you because we were talking about Michael Penix. And I just want to spend a few minutes on this, Mike, before we get into some Dog conversation. Also, we're going to go behind enemy lines. Paul Swartz is going to join us, New York Post Giants reporter, as we do week to week with the Falcons and Giants game on Sunday. Steve Coonan coming up at about 40 minutes from now. What's the deal with this Michael Penix, how guys are feeling about Penix and the change from Kirk Cousins? What's the deal here?
Well, I mean, two things you have to understand, guys. Kirk Cousins is beloved. It's not like, it's not like he's died. But I think you'd have to really have your head in the sand as a player to not see what's not happening offensively. We've talked about it. I mean, if anything, wide receivers all give me the ball. Give me the ball, coach, right? Everybody wants the rock. And we've got a good dynamic where nobody's an egomaniac or anything. But I saw something where Darnell Mooney's like asked about what's it like with Penix. And he basically said, well, apparently he's never caught a football from a left-handed thrower.
Okay.
And so the vibe, it's still a football. It's coming at you. I mean, I guess if you caught a football in Australia, Crow, it would be spinning differently too on that side of the world. But either way, he was talking about, you know, how different it is. And a lot of folks said people are being too critical of Drake London, who basically had a neutral response, and then Kyle Pitts, who basically said, you know, what we played yesterday, which is like, I was surprised, and hey, I just work here. And our friend Tori McElhaney, who writes for the Falcons website.
Work here.
Yeah.
She wrote, Drake London, and especially Kyle Pitts, have been taking a lot of heat on this app this week for their responses to the Kirk Cousins Penix switch. She goes, Kyle has had 6 different quarterbacks since he's been in Atlanta. Drake has had 5. What do you want them to say? Well, I hit back. I said, well, hell, some positivity. Fake it if you have to. It's a rookie quarterback being thrown into the Wolves in the middle of a playoff run with the 20% chance to make the playoffs, expectations through the roof. So, I mean, just some good old-fashioned team spirit. And I'm not talking about Coach Ra and people who are upset that Ra's always positive and some feel maybe not realistic or grounded sometimes with his responses.
Well, this is as realistic as it gets.
Yeah, I'm just saying, guys, Pitts, he is what he is. He's a tremendous athletic talent who perhaps because he's been such an athletic, amazing athletic ability, he just, I don't know, thinks it just comes easy and doesn't put the work in, or he's a byproduct of how bad the quarterback play has been or the offensive coordinator doesn't fit him. But either way, when you've got a young man stepping in and you hear Grady Jarrett, that's leadership. Grady talks about all the things he does right, can't wait to see him with the A-team, and you got guys that he's going to be catching footballs from are like, yeah, I don't know. Come on, guys, get your head out of your butts and let's go. Season's on the line. Let's rally behind the young man. That's common sense.
It is. And by the way, I don't know what I expect them to say except what they always say, which is the right thing. Like, that's what I expect. I don't expect Drake to be killing him or putting him down in any way, shape, or fashion.
Right.
But just do what you've done.
Drake London, for those who don't remember, we talked about it yesterday briefly in the beginning. I just catch the ball. I don't care who throws it. Which, again, is akin to what Pitts said, I just work here. All right, Drake and Kyle, do you want to still be here? I mean, come on. You know how tough it is to get to the NFL. This guy's making his debut. Let's get behind the young man. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's put the work in. We gave Kirk Cousins every single opportunity, and he kept failing. And you guys are going to sit there and just shrug? I don't know. That's weak sauce to me. And that's why I think we responded the way we did yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We did. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Tell us what you think. And again, I'm not telling you they got pitchforks out and they're like, we ain't catching the ball. But it shouldn't be this. There should be comments from the guys who are going to be involved with this offense. And whether or not you're besties, all right, and I don't know that. I'm just saying, whether or not you're besties with the guy that just lost his gig, I understand that.
Right.
But be a damn professional.
And that's just it. And I'm having these conversations with people. And again, I know it's the holiday season. Some people get very depressed this time of year, so the glass becomes half empty. But, I mean, if this is the way you live your life, that you're a quiet quitter or you don't put the effort in or you don't pick up a teammate or somebody in your office or you wish bad things to happen, I don't get it. I mean, we all know what's at stake here. This season is hanging by a thread. Let's have some positivity. So, to me, it's common sense stuff. I think Drake London should do better, and I'm sorry that Drake London's had to have some bums throwing the quarterback. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. and him will become the next Joe Montana and Jerry Rice.
It's possible.
But it starts with attitude and energy and effort.
Yeah, you got to show up. You got to show up.
I was just about to ask you guys real quick, because they were so comfortable making those comments publicly, is that a reflection on, A, the locker room, and, B, leadership?
No, I think it's a reflection on the relationships they have with Kirk. That's what I think.
It got such a strong bond with Kirk.
That's what I believe.
That thing died hard.
And here's the lesson, right? Mama used to say, don't say nothing. If you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. That's what this is, right? It's not that I dislike him.
Right.
I don't have anything against him. But I spent a lot of time, and I told you guys this at camp.
Right.
Darnell Mooney and Kirk Cousins were spending a lot of time together. Like, they had this vibe, and then you saw it on the field. That is not producing anymore, but that doesn't mean their relationship is gone. Like, it doesn't mean that they're not kicking it and talking. So I think this is more of that reflection. And, hey, I don't know what this is going to be, so I don't want to jump the gun if I'm Drake London and say, hey, I expect him to be great. When I don't know, I'd just rather tell you, hey. But I didn't like the comment either, Mike. This whole I just show up for work crap, it's got to go. That's got to go.
And I said all summer long, guys, and for guys who don't listen to the show every day, just so you know, I said it, Drake has an intensity about him. And we love Drake's work. And look, one of the few guys, part of the reason we're in this bad situation we're in is Kirk has tried to jam it to Drake when he shouldn't. He's had tunnel vision on Drake, and that's why some of these interceptions have occurred. So, to me, Chris brings up a good point. We've always thought there's a good energy in this locker room, but maybe there's some cracks in the facade. I don't know. Either way, a lack of professionalism, or maybe in 2024 that everyone's in their fields now, Carl, so no one can just, hey, step up to the plate and say, we're all here for Penix, and hopefully we can get back on track.
Ray McLeod did. Ray did.
Right.
I mean, like, it's not, I don't want to lump everybody into one sum, but, you know, he did. I think that most guys have. And again, I don't want to, you know, paint the picture here as Drake London criticizes the quarterback. It's not that. But it's also like, all right, I'd rather not say anything. And when you don't say anything, you tell me a lot. That's all I'm telling
you. Right. And so just to say, hey, I just catch the ball. I don't care who throws it. And, yes, I know before you guys go, well, there's context. Well, there's context, and that's what was said. So in whatever came before it or after it, that was part of the conversation. So it's just, come on, we're splitting hairs here. You guys know how this works. We all try to get by. You know, it's funny. The folks who were spending good money to go watch this game on Sunday are more excited about Penix than guys catching the football. It's a problem.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs. Carson Beck out, Gunnar Stockton in. I want you to hear Jalen Walker talk about the dogs and Gunnar Stockton now, knowing more than likely, guys, he's going to have to lead the dogs to the national championship over the next 3 weeks. Here's Jalen Walker.
When Gunnar Stockton stepped on the field, I had no doubt. I came in with Gunnar together as a freshman, and I always had confidence in him. You know, he's played big-time football because he sees it every day. I mean, he does a great job preparing himself mentally and physically of what he has to do for the game, and I feel like he'll be fine. I feel like our team will have Gunner's back no matter what happens, and I feel like we'll be put in the best position by him in offense.
All right. First of all, why are you so serious, man? I mean, like, Jalen is like, let me tell y'all something. Mike, if that is in fact true and everything he's saying, I came in with him, I've seen him, he's balling, I've seen him make plays. Well, then maybe we're underestimating this situation. Now, I've got to see it. I still think experience matters in this playoff. And that's why Dillon Gabriel and all these other guys we've been talking about, I have them in front of Gunnar Stockton. But it does not mean that if his teammates pick him up and the D does what they need to do and guys don't drop the ball when they get thrown the football,
right,
that Gunnar Stockton can't play well enough to lead the Dogs to the national championship. But Jalen Walker pretty adamant right there about not being.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Concerned that this is the guy that's going to step in and lead him.
I know that Carson Beck, I think you and I were of the opinion it was always like a 0.001% that Beck was coming back. And now the question is, can he even get himself physically up for the combine, the draft? But getting back to Gunnar Stockton, you know, what if he becomes, we're all looking for that Stetson Bennett 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, you could argue that the expectations of him coming out of high school and what he did statistically is even better or higher than what you got from Stetson Bennett. He had to obviously go to junior college and come back. I mean, maybe Stockton can do it. You've had 3 weeks. I wish Todd Monken was the guy calling the shots over Mike Bobo to maximize his skill set. But you still have 3 weeks to get ready. And obviously, you think they've already earmarked some teams they anticipate it'll be Notre Dame.
Look,
and that's a much better defense than Indiana.
No, oh, it is, no doubt. And that's why I'm picking Notre Dame to win tonight. I think that will, you know, show its head at some point, and they'll get what they need to get as far as stops and turnovers. But, listen, if you're a dog fan, this tournament is wide open. There is no dominant team. We've been saying it all college football season. Anybody can beat anybody in this tournament. And unlike when the Dogs won it that first year a few years ago, they were the most dominant team, and everybody in college football knew it. They just had to go win it. That's not this year. And so I think this thing is wide open. I hope Gunnar Stockton does ball out and becomes everything that we hope he can be.
Right.
Hey, coming up, Paul Schwartz is going to join us, New York Post Giants reporter. We go behind enemy lines next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We got this live auction literally going on behind us where you can bid on some of these amazing items. Did you bid on something here?
Yeah, man. There's a Rolling Stones Exile on Main Street frame piece, which is pretty tight. There's a Joe Montana, the green jersey worn in the Cotton Bowl side by.
Sweet.
Joe Cool, Taylor Swift gear. So anyway, there's everything from pop culture to music, politics, everything, man. So come make a bid. Get in on it.
We have been talking a lot about the Falcons on Sunday. They take on the Giants. We got to go behind enemy lines. Paul Swartz is here in New York Post Giants reporter. And Paul, obviously the big story around the NFL is the quarterback change for us, but I want to spend some time talking about the team you cover, should I say, and that's the Giants. A lot of people are saying, hey, jobs are on the line, 3 weeks left. First and foremost, do you think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are going to be back?
Hey, guys. Hey, by the way, I heard some Taylor Swift gear. I have a daughter. We may have to make a deal about this after I'm done here, okay?
There's an autographed guitar, Paul. We'll put a bid in for you, brother.
It's a nice item.
Well, I was thinking more of like I do a great job on this, and maybe you just send it to me, or that's not quite the way it works.
No, it doesn't work that way.
All right, there is a holiday season. I'm up for Father of the Year here, but okay,
right, that's fine. Right.
That's fine. Look, there's a good chance they're going to be 2-15. Okay, so I think everything is on the table. I don't think it's there are some. Look, the Jets have already in town here. The Jets have already fired their GM and head coach. We know there are jobs. I think there's an average of 7 firings of head coaches every year for like the last 25 years. It's incredible.
Right.
Turnover in this league. So it is certainly a possibility that one or both of these guys, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, go. I do not think it's a done deal. I don't think winning this game and then losing the next two would save them. You know, I think it's look, this has been a terrible season. This is the 100th year anniversary of the franchise. They made a big deal of this at the start of the year. All kinds of events, top 100 players, legends, celebrities, all kinds of things, and this is not what ownership envisioned. You know, I don't think they envisioned the Super Bowl, but they didn't envision being in line for the number one pick in the draft. So I would say everything is on the table, sure.
It's Paul Swartz in the New York Post. Guys, we go behind enemy lines here on the Giants. I was talking to Carl this year watching the in-season or the preseason Hard Knocks. I don't know. Is Daboll, is he an acerbic personality? Is Daboll misunderstood? I don't know. Some of the way it was presented, they kind of came off as a bit, I don't know, not good.
You mean the coach, Brian Daboll?
Yeah, and the GM, yeah.
Yeah, because Brian Daboll was not in it much. You know, that's what happened. No, this was a first-time deal, right? We're all used to Hard Knocks, right?
Right.
Summer Hard Knocks, right? Okay, here's the rookie who's trying to make the team. Here's the veteran who's coming off an ACL. Here's this, here's that, you know, here's the interesting coach, here's the interesting player, you know, behind the scenes. We get all that. So this was all new. And because it was an off-season thing, it was way more geared to the GM, right? The
right.
Draft, free agency. There was no practices, a couple of OTAs we saw or things like that. So I know Brian Daboll really didn't want to have much to do with this. And you could tell in this, he was not doing much. He was not really involved. You saw him interviewing Jaden Daniels. You saw him interviewing a bunch of the quarterbacks at the combine. But, you know, a lot of the day-to-day, are we going to re-sign Saquon Barkley? Are we going to trade for Brian Burns? You know, are we going to trade up in the draft to try to find a new quarterback? That's the GM and the scouts and the front office. So here's what I say about that, okay? I think they completely misjudged what was shown and what was not shown. And, you know, they didn't have complete – I was thought in the beginning they had complete control of what
on
was
– the edit,
they
right.
They didn't have complete editing, final edit. You know, they said, well, this can't go in, but they – you know, HBO had to make a show that was compelling and interesting. So they're not going to – you know, I can't say to you guys, look – give me a script of everything you're saying, and then I cross out 40% of it because,
right.
No, that's interesting and intriguing. So here's what I really think is that moving forward, if there is another off-season HBO, Hard Knocks, it will not be nearly as intriguing as the Giants because there are tons of GMs in the league who looked at it and said, not me, man, not me.
Yeah, I agree. Paul Swartz joining us, guys. New York Post Giants reporter. Giants in town to take on the Falcons on Sunday. What's the strength of this team? As bad as they've been, 2 wins on the season. Do they have a strength?
Okay, I'm glad this is not a half-hour segment, the strength of the Giants 2024. The strength of the team. You know, they don't really do anything exceptionally well at all. They had been running decently. They have not been now. Obviously, their passing game is decrepit. Their quarterbacks have been terrible. For the first half of the year, I would absolutely say the strength of the team was the pass rush. They were leading the league with 35 sacks, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, and Brian Burns. You know, they were leading the league in sacks, and I did not think that was sustainable. It certainly, you know, was not. They have 41 sacks now, not bad, but they've really taken a nosedive. Dexter Lawrence is out for the season. Kayvon Thibodeau missed 5 games. Ojulari's out for the season. I would say, if there was one thing you asked me, oh man, there's nothing. They don't stop the run. Their pass defense is not good. It had been credible numbers wise, but really just because teams look at them and say we don't need to throw as much because we can run on them, and late in the game we don't have to throw because we're leading. This team has not had a lead. They have no great strength. Their punter is good.
Got a lot of work.
He just said their punter is good.
Well, because
that's how bad they are.
Right.
Their punter is good. Jamie Gillen's a strong left-footed punter. The punter is good. And you know what? That's important.
Yes, it is.
He punts a lot. He punts a lot.
Paul, I'm sorry. It just makes it. Listen, when we tell our listeners and Falcon fans, like, this is a bad football team, Paul covers his team every day. He's telling you the best part of the football team is the punter. That's why you right. should feel good about heading into Sunday.
Paul Schwartz with us from the New York Post here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We do know they get after the quarterback, but there's some injuries. Talk about who's questionable, because we did look at the run game. I think from a Falcon fan standpoint, Paul, it's going to be basically what we did in Vegas. We're just going to run it down your throat and try to create some nice opportunities for Penix.
Well, you know, Bobby Okereke, their best inside linebacker, hasn't played in a while. He's got a back issue. I would imagine he won't play again this season. He's out. So up the middle, right? You know, baseball, right? You want the shortstop, the second baseman, the center fielder, the catcher. In football, you want up the middle. Well, up the middle, they had one of the best in the league in Dexter Lawrence. He has a dislocated elbow. He is on IR. So, you know, it's just a bunch of guys out there, young guys, practice squad guys on the defensive line. Their edge rushers are Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau are pretty good. Burns is the lead there. But they, you know, yes, you can definitely run it on them. You know, they're one of their better run stoppers, Tyler Newbin, a second round pick, safety out of Minnesota. He's out for the season. I mean, look, you see the injury report, and that's not even the guys who are on IR. There's a chance, I think, that Deontay Banks, their first round pick last year, comes back and starts at cornerback. He struggled, but he's probably better than the backups and the guys they've signed off the street. Look, I'm fascinated by this game because of Penix. You know, that, you know, with Kirk Cousins, I'd be like, okay, the Falcons will probably win, but it could be ugly like it was last week, right? Penix fascinates me. You know, I watched him at Indiana. I watched him at Washington. The Giants were in the quarterback market last draft and didn't take him. They took Malik Nabers at 6, and Penix went 8. That surprised everyone because we knew that the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins and guaranteed him $90 million. So, fascinating. I don't know if it's good for the Giants or bad for the Giants. You know, good that they're a rookie who's making his starting debut, or bad because Kirk Cousins was so bad that Penix can throw the ball. We know it. And I don't – here's the problem. I don't think the Giants, as constituted right now on defense, can do the things that good defenses do to take advantage of a rookie, right? There are games they can play. There are things they can disguise. There are things they can do to fool and keep a rookie off balance. They'll try to do some of it. I don't know if they have the manpower right now to do enough of it.
All right. We got to talk our ish right now.
Welcome to Talk, presented by Cologuard. It's time to get low and screen for colon cancer. Quest your prescription at getlow2.com. That's the number 2 to learn more.
This is where we ask Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, if, in fact, the Giants are going to have success and win this game, what needs to happen?
Okay, a couple of things. Malik Nabers has a big game. You know, he's got 90 catches. He's going to get 1,000 yards this season. He's a terrific rookie receiver. So he has a big game. You know, he could. I mean, he's a good, really good player. He has a big game, number one. Number two, the other rookie, Tyrone Tracy, he's listed as questionable with an ankle. I feel strongly he's going to play. He's had a couple of big games. He had like 145 yards against the Steelers, right? That doesn't happen very often. So he can have a big game. You know, offensive line is very average, but, you know, he can have a big game. Can Drew Lock have a big game? I mean, he has a puncher's chance, I guess, to have a big game. Yeah. You know, he likes to run around and throw the ball. So, right. You know, if he has time and can make some plays to neighbors, that's a big thing. As far as, look, it's a cliche, but if the Falcons play badly enough to give up, if, you know, Penix throws a couple of interceptions, throws a pick six, somebody drops the ball at the 5-yard line and the Giants get it there. You know, I mean, I think the Falcons are going to have to gift the Giants 10 points at least to have any chance to lose this game.
All right, big man. We just know that the Giants are pretty awful, and it's a pretty good team for a rookie to start against. Truth be told, used to have season tickets. Met Mr. Mara, the good one, back in the day. The one who sounded like James Cagney, not his idiot son. Anyway, you have a great holiday season. We appreciate the time, Mr. Schwartz.
Thanks, guys. The Taylor Swift guitar, just, you know, I mean, it's Hanukkah, Christmas. Just send it over, and nobody needs to know between
All
us,
right.
Okay?
Right on.
We got you covered.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul, good stuff. Paul Schwartz, guys, New York Post. Bottom line is, and again, right. We don't count our chickens before they hatch, but this sets up perfectly for what we're doing well right now without having right. to ask Michael Penix to come into this game and throw for 4 touchdowns and 400 yards.
Right. And again, you know, run the ball. You'll be able to run the football. These guys, the only guys who give up more yardage, run the ball. We'll see them the last game of the season is Carolina. They give up 173 a game. Giants give up 143 yards a game. So basically the Raiders game plan might not be as sexy as some fans want, but maybe something opens up and Penix hits it.
Totally agree. Coming up, Steve Coonan's going to join us, guys. Hawks lose to the Spurs last night. Wimby was off the charts, but so was DeAndre Hunter. We'll talk to that. I'll talk to Steve about that. But also, they got some home games coming up here. Christmas week, you got some time off. Go check out the Hawks. And Memphis is in town with Ja Morant tomorrow night. It's Dukes and Bell.
Now, your game traffic. 92.9 The Game's Traffic Center, brought to you by Bader Law. You deserve the best. Go to Bader Law.
The horn sounds. Catching up with Coonan is fueled by Georgia Natural Gas. Georgia Natural Gas keeps it simple with great rates and reliable service. So get our lowest rate of the year at GNG.com. Because these days, simple is just what you need. And Kumho Tire, proud partner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Let's talk to Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, who joins us on a regular basis every week, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Steve, happy holidays to you and your family. Last night, Mike, Turtle, Oren, everybody on this show, we were like, oh, what a great game with the Spurs after getting that break after the NBA Cup. Had a chance to win it, obviously, but I think it speaks volumes to, you know, Wimby and the star power he has. Trey is still playing at a very high level. But DeAndre Hunter, and I just bring him up because we spent a lot of time on this show talking about him. He had another great game last night, and maybe, you know, one of those dunks of the year candidates when he dunked on Wimby at the end of that game.
Yeah, first of all, happy holidays to all our listeners and to all you guys and the team there. Appreciate you so, so much. You know, last night just proved the fact that we really can play with anybody. And I think that ability will continue to build, and our confidence will continue to build. You know, there were a couple of missed free throws and a turnover or two. And I mean, who has ever seen anything like Wimby? 7 for 15 from three. You know, and if you listen to the broadcast, Dominique's at the beginning is like, I'm fine if he takes that shot. Let him shoot that all night. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, you're going, my God, go drive the lane, you know. Don't take that shot. He's pretty incredible, but I thought we played really well. And, you know, in sports, it's so interesting. Where a player, what team he ends up on, where he's drafted, who he plays for, how he plays. DeAndre Hunter is a great sixth man. Coming off the bench, playing a measured amount of minutes, protecting, you know, him from the injuries he's had before, working with him, working with medical, working with our training staff. And I think, you know, it's like we've traded for a brand new player. We haven't Yes. seen what we've been seeing, and Right. it's made a huge difference.
It's our man Steve Coonan, Puffy K. And that's the thing. I know I can't get you to talk about the refs because you'll get in trouble, so I will. A little bit of inconsistency at times. I know we saw it in the final in Vegas that sometimes they swallowed the whistle. I just thought that, man, that game could have been over in regulation. Should have been probably a foul call, as DeAndre Hunter, as Carl said, just made that unbelievable, emphatic dunk. Okay, the opinions expressed, Carl, are not those of Steve Kuhn or the Hawks.
No, look, I don't disagree with you. Guy got hit in the face, and, you know, there is so much contact, and there is physicality, and some bounces went our way, some bounces don't go our way, and it's incredibly aggravating because a game is decided by it. But, I mean, like when they called the jump ball on Wimby and Larry Nance Jr., and it was very obvious in replay that Wimby, you know, controlled that ball. So there was a little fuzziness last night, but we move on.
Steve, Mike and I were discussing this, and I know it's something I did not have an answer for the other day because we were talking about the ratings in the NBA. LeBron has come out, we were talking about it today, saying we shoot too many threes. The league as a whole, he thinks that's hurting the game. What are the ratings? Are they down? And if so, do we know why? Are they where you expected them to be? And I'm not specifically saying you. I'm just saying the NBA because it's a conversation Mike and I had. I said, I don't know what they are, but let's ask Steve about this.
So let's start with what a TV rating is, because most people really don't understand. It's made up of two elements. One is the amount of people that watch, and the second is how long they watch for. Great example, Fox News is the highest rated station network on cable television. Do they have the most people who watch? No, but their viewers watch over 3 hours a day. Okay? Mm-hmm. Two parts to a rating, that duration. What's happening in the NBA, or people are tuning in, like last night, if you would have tuned in with 3 minutes left in the game and watched overtime, you saw a great NBA game, but you saw 8 minutes of it, not 53 minutes of it. And so anytime there's slippage, and, you know, I've made no secret of it. We've discussed it many times. I still think the NBA starts too early. We're going up against football. My God, what a football weekend we have starting tomorrow.
Right.
You know, it's incredible. Four college playoff games starting tonight. Excuse me, Notre Dame, Indiana tonight. And two pro games and a full slate of NBA. We're going to be third place. And so the ratings are down about 9%. TV as an industry is under attack. Those of you who have Comcast who could watch the Braves and Hawks, now have to buy a higher tier to watch the Braves and Hawks. Those of you who have YouTube can't even, YouTube TV can't even watch it. So the world's changed. So it's a lot of chatter, especially since we just signed a $76 billion TV deal.
Right.
I think a bit of the media is to try to balance the seesaw that why would you go spend that kind of money when the ratings are down? But social media is way up through the roof. Ticket sales are way up. So there's a lot of different metrics, but, you know, I don't think anybody has the precise answer.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, Steve,
what I could have said and saved everybody 2 minutes of a lesson.
No, and you have to understand, Carl and I, we were literally looking at it. I think it was 2 days ago I found some of these numbers. And first, I have to consider the source. What's the agenda? Is it accurate? I think we go with, like, you know, the Sports Business Journal. There's certain ones you give more respect to, and they say that, you know, the numbers are down. I think you look no further than your biggest star. Biggest brand is LeBron James. He says that the too much three-point shots is killing the game. The aesthetic of it, everything we loved in the 90s, real half-court, Hubie Brown, getting the ball in the painted area, all that stuff. It just seems like it's just chuck and run, and I think that's something which I don't know how you'd even correct it because you're not going to take away the three-point shot, but maybe there's just too many coaches using too much of it, and that's all analytics.
Well, let me blow your mind. Last night, the Boston Celtics played the Chicago Bulls, and there were 108 three-point shots taken during the game.
Right. Which I don't think is great basketball, unless you're a Celtics
no,
fan and they're winning,
and
shooting
the
those
worst
60.
Part, 70 of them were missed.
Right.
So the point is, you're not watching fluid basketball. It, you know, you watch these games, and sometimes they're choppy. But you have to balance it. Like tomorrow night we have Memphis coming in. Memphis takes the lowest amount of 3-point shots in the league. They have 7'5", the kid from Purdue, Edie, you know, playing. Ja is always around the rim. You won't see a lot of threes tomorrow night. I can assure you there will not be 100 threes chucked up. But analytics do play a part because 3 is bigger than 2, I've been told.
That is true. And it's a great way to put it. I mean, it does depend on the team and their rate of threes, but it's something I think the league is, you know, going to look at. But I don't know how you tell teams not to shoot them now, right? We're in an era
you can't.
And that's the issue. You've got kids who are growing up who've watched, you know, 20 years, 15 years of Steph Curry who are like, no, that's how you play. We're on the fast break. It's a 3-on-1. When I was growing up, you threw it to the guy who was going to make the layup.
The highest percentage shot each
now,
trip out.
Right. That 3-on-1 break is you float to the corners, right, and I'm going to find you for a wide-open three. And if we miss it, it's okay. And, like,
I don't
coaches
remember
accept
the team.
That.
I don't remember the team last night. There was a 2-on-1 break, and instead of going for the basket, they literally threw the ball outside to take a three-pointer.
That's Carl's point.
Right.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
it is. And so, either way, I mean,
however,
like, those are the things that drive you crazy in a close game where maybe you've had three opportunities in a game where you could have had 6 points, but yet you took the three, you missed, the other team came back down, maybe they hit a three, all of a sudden it's a 9-point turnaround, then at the end of the game you're like, we lost by four. Well, take the layup.
Right.
So,
well,
either way.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the Atlanta Hawks we're talking about. That's the rest of the NBA.
No, we can't shoot a three. No, we're not a great shooting three-shooting team, although last night it was who was it last night? Inexplicably. Junior was hitting those shots. Who am I forgetting? Chris. Larry Nance Jr. made like 4 3-point shots last night.
Yeah,
as I say, Junior.
Look, that's not inexplicably. He's been shooting the ball really, really well this year. But as a team, we're under 35%, and that area needs to be improved. But, you know, when Hunter hits a three that gives us the lead, that's when a three should be taken. When I hear 108 were taken, that's a little problematic.
It is Steve Koonin, guys, the Hawks CEO. So tell us about, you mentioned Memphis. What else you got coming up, man, as far as people want to make Hawks tickets, great stocking stuffers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got tomorrow night Memphis, Monday night Anthony Edwards, I think the most exciting player in the league and the Georgia guy. Coming in. And then we have the Bulls, the people who shot up 108 shots. But the Bulls always play us tough, and they're coming in on the 26th. And then for the family, bring your kids, 3 o'clock game on December 28th against Miami. So all three games will be sold out. So check now, and hopefully we'll see you down at State Farm Arena. And I think, like I said, the team's playing with a lot of confidence, and they're a lot of fun. We are moving the ball. And ladies and gentlemen, Mike Bell even gives us his seal of approval.
He does. Yes, it's true. Steve, what do you think about this weekend? College football playoff starts tonight. We got Indiana. Mike and I were here at Twin Peaks. They got TVs on, obviously. Got all the games for you. And it's snowed up there, right? Notre Dame. It's cold. We knew that this was going to be a factor, but tell me what your thoughts are, not only about tonight, but the three games tomorrow as the Dogs wait to see who they're going to play.
I really don't understand the seeding of this tournament. I don't know how Boise State has a bye, you know, and I think you could see a lot of blowouts. I really do. I'm not sure these are going to be close games because I don't think football lines up like basketball in March Madness does. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw at least 2 of the 4 games be 20 points or more. It's just which 2, I guess, would be the magic question.
I know that we've always right, and we've always said, Steve, that you know this is inevitable. We're going to expand. There's too much money, but I've always felt the cream rise to the top. The depth's going to show out. Although now, because of the you know all the issues now with the kids transferring out, hell, there's even talk that some teams have got to spend some money. Mike Johnson, our own Mike Johnson, talking about it. Some people had to step up and pass the hat just to keep the roster alive for the playoff.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. There needs to be some rules put in place. What I'm starting to hear about and see are colleges hiring general managers, and their job is to work with raising money with NIL to recruit and manage the revenue and potentially sell pieces of equity of the school sports teams to private equity companies. So I think we probably are going to see more change in college sports than any kind of sport that we've seen. And, man, have we seen a lot in the past decade.
Steve, one final thought as we let you go here. We always love our weekly segment, Carl, with Steve. From at the Minnow Ticker, love having Puffy K on. One of the best segments on talk radio. He seems like such a great dude to drink a beer with while watching sports.
He is. We can attest to that. Matter of fact, when they open, what's the floor bar down there at State Farm, Steve? When you guys open that down there on the floor, what's that called?
It's part of the Delta Club. It's called the Hawk Bar. We're not very good at naming things.
Yes, you made it simple. We helped open that. We were down there doing the show, and we actually had a beer with Steve that evening. You're absolutely right. He is the coolest CEO.
No.
Steve, enjoy the games. Again, happy holidays to you and your family. And
happy
we look
holidays.
Forward.
Are we working next Friday, by the way?
Yes.
It'll be Randy Mack and I.
Yes.
Carl will be on Vay.
Yes.
And we'll chat again Friday.
All right. I'll show up for work. I'll show up.
Good. Enjoy, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
Everybody have a great, great holiday. Be safe. And let's go Hawks.
Yeah, right on. Let's go Hawks. Hawks fever.
Catch it. They're back in action tomorrow. Hey, coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. We'll give you the latest when it comes to Michael Penix. Mike does not like some of the things coming out of Flowery Branch.
Harumph.
In support of our new quarterback. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This was Catching Up with Kunin. Catching up with